of you ever bought anything on impulse? You know, been to the shops, come back with something that you didn't really want? Pair of shoes, coat, a book that you never ended up reading, a CD you never listened to, or in my case, and I imagine Chris's case, a ukulele that you never ended up never playing? No? Or some other music, some other sort of odd bits of an ornament that you didn't really want, you know, a cat that you didn't really want to have, a pet hamster. In the first week of October last year, I got a phone call from a friend, and actually it was the former vicar of St. Margaret's Church in Lee Allen, and he told me that he was trying to get rid of a nearly new fridge because he was moving. And somehow he persuaded me, in the way that vicars can persuade you to do things that you weren't going to do, to pop along and have a look at this fridge, this 5-foot fridge. And so I popped along and, you know, I had that ukulele moment, yes, and I bought the fridge. I decided to buy a 5-foot fridge. Not sure what I was going to do with it at all. But, you know, fortunately, not long after it had begun to sink in with me that I bought a fridge, and before I got round to telling Paul about the 5-foot fridge, I received a text, and actually it was two long texts from a colleague that I'd been working with for 3 years asking for help. And the text said, "Joe, can you help me please? We need a building to hold our new food bank project as soon as possible. The building we want to use is still unavailable, and even if you could help us find somewhere for a few weeks, it's better than nothing, because some of our users are desperate. They've not had anything to eat for weeks. Please, can you help us look for somewhere? And if possible, we also need to find a fridge." So a couple of texts were fired off to our vicar on a Saturday morning, and it felt that God had provided. Our food bank project runs every Saturday morning at St. Peter's Church, and I know some of you have been along to help. On average, we help 17 families a week, and all of the people we help have submitted a claim for asylum or who are either refugees or vulnerable migrants with undefined status. I'd say that these are people on the edge of our society, people on the fringe. People who have at some point left their country of origin. They've left their families, have little or no support, are waiting for help, often have no access to funds, often with very nothing, with nothing that they own, and very little to eat from one day to the next. These are some of the estimated 40,000 people in London currently seeking asylum. And some, as I said, have refugee status, but many have waited for a not knowing whether they will be allowed to stay for 1 week or the next, and whether they will be able to get the protection and support that they need. And throughout the morning, we hand out basic food bags with tinned food and fresh food, food that has been donated from church members, friends, neighbours, and other members of the community, and also supermarkets and small shops. We provide breakfast, money for fares, and an opportunity to sit and chat. It feels like a very positive project to be involved with, and I think we are seeing firsthand people having their needs met and their lives beginning to change. But it is hard work, it is a challenge. It does so much feel that we are being drawn. I'd say it's a project from and an impulse buy. Rich. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the more familiar of Jesus' miracles, and the only one that is recounted in all four of the Gospels. But however you wish to interpret this event, central to the narrative is God's provision of this endless supply of bread. But for the people present, I think this miracle was not only proof that God cared about their physical needs, it was also a moment of connection, affirming to them that Jesus was sent by God for them. Because it would not have been the first time that God had provided miraculously for his people. And many of those present would have known about the event recorded in the book of Exodus when manna was sent to God's people in the desert. And this would have been a connection to their past. But I think it also represented another form of connection for the disciples. Perhaps you could say a connection to their future, because they were at this point drawn into working alongside Jesus and drawn into his ministry. And if you think about it, it would have been so much easier for Jesus if he'd just done this himself. You know, he could have just said to everyone there, get your food out, you know, and sit down. You know, surely, if you think about it, I was just thinking what that must have looked like, 5,000 people. I mean, we were just thinking this morning that there must be 500 students at Trinity School, maybe. So that would be 10 times the number of students at Trinity School. Or, you know, I was thinking the capacity, and that would just, 5,000 was just the number of the men, it seems. The capacity of the O2 Arena is 20,000 people. So I imagine they could have been in the region of 20,000 people. If you think about 5,000 men, some they would have brought their children, they would have brought a wife. I was going to say a wife or two, but they would have brought a wife, but there would have been lots and lots of people, many more than the 5,000. So someone, you'd have thought, surely in that crowd would have had some food on them. You know, when my children were younger, I used to always go out with something in my pocket, you know, some sweets or, you know, a rice cake or something, and you thought there must have been, out of those 20,000 people or so, someone else with some food. But Jesus didn't do it that way. He could have just said to everyone, sit down, close your eyes, and I'll bless it, and when you open your eyes, the food will be there. He could have done it that way, but he didn't. Because if he had done it that way, no one else would have had to get up and to move. And so I think that this event could be seen as a training event for the early church, because they were taught to break bread and to share it. A pointer, really, to what would happen to after Jesus, who described himself as the bread of life, was taken away from him. This would become their ministry and the focus of their worship. This would become the ministry of the church, our ministry. The focus of our worship is now the breaking of bread, and the heart of our ministry is the way that we share it. One of the most surprising aspects of our food bank project for me, though, is that every time we tidy up at the end of the morning, even after we've filled all the food, all the bags, and given out platefuls of toast, is that we find we have leftovers. Lots and lots of leftovers. Lots and lots of bread, surprisingly. And that is sort of a snapshot of 1 week's leftover bread that I picked up and tried to give away. If you've ever been at the end of the food bank, you'll know that at the session, we're often scrambling around, working out what to do with our bread, working out who we can give it to. So it's really surprising that we seem to end up with all this bread. And going back to the feeding of the 5,000, otherwise known as the O2 crowd, and the overflowing bread on that occasion, it strikes me too that that was a symbol of God's kingdom being for everyone. In a minute. There will have been in that crowd some people, out of all those people that the disciples will have known, there will have been a handful of friends, family, strangers, but there will also have been many people that they wouldn't have known, people who would have been strangers. And the people at the fringe of what became that massive picnic, I think, received as much as the people at the front of the queue, because there was so much going round. It was overflowing. They received bread because it was shared, not because it was dropped into their laps. The disciples walked through the crowd. It would have taken a few hours, and it would have been hard work. Some of the miracles that Jesus did were for the direct benefit of one or two people, but this was a miracle that transformed a community. Sharing bread can transform a community. This was an all-are-welcome event. All welcome. God's compassion and concern was demonstrated to those close to him and those who weren't close to him, people on the fringes and the edges. Refugees and asylum seekers are the people on the fringes, on the edges of our community. But there are many others, I think, who also feel that way. People who feel lonely or fearful or anxious, But also sometimes people who are shy can feel on the edges and on the fringes. So to finish, what can we learn from our reading today? What can we learn to help us with our mission action plan, our plans for outreach? Is there any guidance on how we are to live as Christians in a community surrounded by people who have needs? Well, I think there's quite a lot. I think we can learn that God cares for us and is concerned for our physical welfare. I mean, there's a bit at the passage that we sort of read really quickly that said he healed everyone before they even sat down. We can learn that he wants to reach everyone, and that we can also learn that as his disciples, we are to minister to those in need, to work with him, and to mingle in the crowd. So I want to encourage you this morning to remember the overflowing bread. If you don't remember anything else, remember the overflowing bread. And think about the overflowing love of God for you and for everyone in our community, our friends and our strangers. And as we come to take communion later, let's remember that Jesus called himself the bread of life. He was broken for us. He came to connect with us, and he came to call us to work with him. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer, let's also ask in faith for bread for ourselves for today, but also for bread that we can share with others tomorrow. And as you think about Refugee Week later this month and the plight of the 22.5 million people in the world who are considered to be refugees, the 40,000 asylum seekers looking for a home in London, let's ask God to enable us to live as his servants, overflowing with love for those in our community, our friends, our neighbours, those close to us and those on the fringes. And in whatever form that it may take, let us share that overflowing love. It may be through taking part in our food bank, or it may just be by passing on an encouraging word to each other, or an act of kindness. Let's pray that in serving each other, we will draw each other further in and closer to Jesus. The good news of the gospel, I think, is for everyone. For those on the fringes and those in the middle, there is enough for everyone and anyone, including and especially you.